Are you a procrastinator? One of these days is the favorite phrase of the dawdler. If you delay cleaning out your hall closet, serious consequences are not your worry. But like Governor Felix, in response to the Apostle Paul in Acts 24, if you put off until another time a decision about Jesus, you are at risk of losing your eternal soul to hell. Thinking you will have another opportunity to say yes to Jesus is dangerous and presumptuous. Plus, such thinking ignores how the human heart hardens each time we say no to God. That is why the Bible says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." And today, if only you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
In Philippians 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul expresses a desire to share in the suffering of Jesus Christ. And for most of his 35-year ministry, suffering is exactly what Paul endured. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Coming up next, Ron takes us to Paul's appearance before the Jewish Supreme Court. His life is on the line, but rather than defend himself, he defends the gospel of Jesus Christ. Visit somethinggoodradio.org to hear any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now from his teaching series, Paul, Surprised by Grace, here's Ron with part two of his message, A Cheerful Defense of the Gospel.
Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples in the night before he was crucified, there in the upper room, when he was talking about the Comforter? He says in part that the Holy Spirit's job description would be to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit is here to make us uncomfortable in our sin until we make a decision to place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and receive the forgiveness of our sins. Even as a child of God, the Holy Spirit is here to make us uncomfortable for living in sin until we repent and get right with God. And Felix was alarmed at hearing all of this. And rather than responding in faith believing, he put it all off until another day. And that's probably more alarming than the alarm that came to Felix's spirit. Go away for the present, he says, when I get an opportunity, I will summon you. Felix is a sad character in the Bible. He served for the balance of 2 years as governor. Maybe his term came to an end, but there came a day when Festus replaced him. And we never hear again in the book of Acts or anywhere in the Bible about Festus, who said, well, one day I'll get around to having that conversation with you, Paul, about your Jesus. And because of the silence at the end of Acts 24 and after, I guess we can assume that day never came for Felix. He put it off and put it off and delayed it until another day. And he paid the ultimate price for it. By the way, are you a procrastinator? Do you put things off for another day? You know, I know the easiest thing to do is to procrastinate when, you know, you got that hall closet you need to clean out. I like to procrastinate things like that too, but there aren't any serious consequences that result if I don't clean out the closet. But when there's an eternal decision to be made and you procrastinate, when you say, one of these days, I'll have a serious conversation with you about that, that's a dangerous place to be. In fact, if you put off until another time a decision about Jesus, you are at risk of losing your soul to hell. You mind if I say it to you that quickly and that straightforward? This is what Felix was gambling with. by procrastinating and putting it off for another time. Thinking you will have another opportunity is dangerous and it's presumptuous, and it doesn't take into account the human heart that grows harder and more calcified the more often we say no to the Holy Spirit who is urging us to make a spiritual decision here. That's just the nature of the human heart. The ear grows more deaf to the voice of the Holy Spirit that says, get to the cross of Christ as soon as you can, because time is of the essence and eternity is in the balance. This is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the day of salvation. Not some other day when you decide to get around to it. Psalm 95 verses 7 and 8, today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We harden our hearts when we say no, or maybe another time, another day, and we bring a deafness to our ears. Paul is on trial. And if some of what he is going through sounds vaguely familiar to the trial they brought upon our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think that's unintended in the story here. Humanly speaking, when Jesus was put on trial, they trumped up about every charge they could make against him, even bringing false witnesses who would tell a false story. Why? Because people want to hear what they want to hear and see what they want to see so they can do what they want to do. And in your own time, just read back through the gospel accounts of the trial of Jesus, and you might see some similarities to the trial that the Apostle Paul was on and under. But Paul, again, had already decided that his life was of no value, but that he could fulfill the ministry God had given to him and cross the finish line. It reminds me of when Jesus said, if you love your life, you'll lose it, but if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And the Apostle Paul had already made that decision long ago, such that he could cheerfully make his defense, because he was looking for a way to open up the door to a gospel conversation that came to Felix maybe once, twice, maybe many times. But Felix kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Now, there are a lot of things that we can learn from Paul's missionary journeys, and there are a few things that we can take home today. I've alluded to some of it, but let me just summarize it for us today. Number one, remain cheerful. Of all people, Christians should be happy warriors. Happy warriors. We shouldn't look like we've been baptized in lemon juice and be grouchy about the gospel. Paul was never grouchy about the gospel. He was a happy warrior. He was a happy warrior. He understood that he was in a spiritual battle. He understood that he was walking, even as he went into the Gentile world, into the belly of the beast of pagan idolatry. He knew the spiritual battle that he was in, but he was cheerful about it because he set his affection on things above and not on things on the earth. He was cheerful about any way, even if it meant a cost to his own life, any way to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill his ministry. We are warriors indeed, but we should be happy warriors and cheerful ones. The old hymn says, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Now, that used to inspire Christians in previous generations to take up the battle and the battle that belongs to the Lord, and to fulfill the ministry calling that we have. Not in a grouchy way, not in a way that has an edge to it, but in the way that that Paul did, and even the Lord Jesus Christ did, as happy, happy warriors. As William Wordsworth said, we live and fight for the applause of heaven. And that's what keeps the soldier of Jesus Christ and the warrior of Christ cheerful and happy, is the prospect of the applause of heaven. Which brings me to the second take-home principle after remaining cheerful. Share in the sufferings of Christ. That may seem like an odd thing to suggest to 21st century people, to share in the sufferings of Christ. But the Apostle Paul, who laid it all on the line, later wrote in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, I want to know him. I want to know Christ. And the word know there is not to just know about him, but to know him personally, to know him experientially. You know, sometimes the best way to get to know somebody is to walk in their sandals. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and in a way that I may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Wow. Who wants to sign up for that? A happy warrior? Somebody who cheerfully accepts the call of God upon his life, considering his own life of no value, but that he can give it to the Lord in service to him, no matter the cost? I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and share his sufferings. Another translation says, to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings.
We'll return to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones in just a moment. Listen on demand to any of Ron's messages at somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our digital library, where you'll find more than 500 hours of video and audio teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Search the streaming library by scripture or topic for answers to some of your most challenging questions. That's the digital library at somethinggoodradio.org. As you may know, Something Good Radio and free resources like the Something Good Digital Library only exist because of the faithful prayers and financial support of listeners like you. And today, when you invest $50 or more in the media ministry of Something Good, we have a very special thank you gift to share with you. Volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Request them today for your gift of $50 or more. When you order the print versions, you'll also get unlimited access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of the book, plus video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. Donate online at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. You can also call our offices at 757-276-1099. Now let's get back to Ron as he shares the second half of today's message, a cheerful defense of the gospel.
You see, the Apostle Paul suffered in some of the similar ways that the Lord Jesus Christ did, in a very simple way, through all the false accusations brought against him. Have you ever been accused falsely? It usually comes to the man or the woman who is in the arena, like Paul was. It makes me think of Teddy Roosevelt's famous speech about the man in the arena. He says, it's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong person stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. And you can just hear old gritty Teddy Roosevelt, you know, belting out that great speech. But Paul was a man who was in the arena, having counted his life but loss, and all that he had gained as lost, but for the cause of Christ. And it's for that man and woman that criticism often comes. False accusations often come, as they did to the Apostle Paul. And I wondered if, you know, in the midst of all of that, he understood the vague resemblance to the false accusations that his Lord and Savior had received. And if a quiet moment, Jesus just leaned into Paul and says, come in here a second. I know exactly what you're going through. And there was an intimacy there. There's a shared experience, okay? A shared experience between the Lord Jesus And now his servant, the Apostle Paul, there's a fellowship in their common experience of suffering and false accusations and maybe some other things as well. Paul brings these ideas together in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Yeah, a soldier that is more concerned about protecting his own life is not a good soldier. It's not a man or a woman who is in the arena and willing at any cost for the cause to be counted. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are not passengers on some cruise ship being served by others. We are soldiers in a spiritual battle. And we're to share in the sufferings of Christ. One author I was reading this week refers to this as the downward trajectory of the Christian life, where you deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. That doesn't sound like success by today's standards, does it? Sounds like a downward trajectory. I would just add to my author friend here, from a human perspective, that's a downward trajectory, to take up your cross daily and follow him. From heaven's perspective, it's the upward ascent. And Paul understood the difference because he had set his affection on things above, not on things on this earth. And he was okay with that. Number three, don't procrastinate about eternal things. Act now. What is God calling you to do? Is it a moment of salvation? Some of you who, like Felix, have been delaying that decision for far too long now, and here you have an opportunity. Now, don't procrastinate eternal things. There's a kind of a fictitious story that's told about a meeting that took place in hell. Satan, the devil, called together all of his demonic forces, and he says, listen, we need to up our game here. We need to come up with a lie that better captures men's souls. And I have a reward for any of you who may, you know, bring forth that lie, and we'll send you quickly to earth. Well, one of the demons comes forward and says, I know exactly the lie I would tell them. I would tell them God does not exist. And the devil thought for a moment and said, well, that's a good lie, but I really don't think it, you know, sticks very well. Our enemy, the Creator, has left far too much evidence in the world of his existence. His fingerprints are all over creation. You need a better one than that. Another demon comes forward and says, I will tell them that heaven and hell are fantasies. And the devil thought about that for a moment, and then he reached for a copy of the scriptures. You know, he knows the Word of God well. James tells us the demons know it better than we do. And he says, no, I don't think saying that heaven is and hell are fantasies work, because our enemy has given them a book that talks about the hope of heaven and warns about the judgment of hell. We need a better lie than that. And a few minutes pass when another demon steps forward and says, I've got the lie that you're looking for. I won't tell them God doesn't exist. I won't tell them that heaven and hell are fantasies. I would tell them there's no hurry. There's no hurry. Just take your time. Come back another day. And the devil thought for a moment and said, dispatch that demon to earth right now. That was the lie that Felix believed. I've got another opportunity. Go away for now, Paul. I don't want to hear this. I will summon you at another time. And the testimony of Scripture is that time never came. We know nothing of Felix after Acts chapter 24, suggesting to us his term ended, Felix is out, Festus is in, and Felix lost his opportunity. The next time didn't come, and he bargained away his soul for eternity. Remain cheerful, child of God. Share in the sufferings of Christ. And wherever you are, on which side of the cross you are, don't procrastinate an eternal decision, but act now.
Thanks for being here for today's Something Good radio message, a cheerful defense of the gospel. Well, Ron, there's no question the Apostle Paul was joyful in the midst of suffering. He lived it. He preached it. He was, as you say, a cheerful warrior. And I think many Christians would love to have that said about them. But getting there, adopting that kind of attitude, how do we do it?
Brian, we talked about the importance of mindset a couple of days ago. Where the mind goes, the man follows, we might say. It's a little bit like that here. As Paul himself said, we have to set our minds on the things of heaven, not earth. So let me share two things upon which the Apostle Paul set his mind. Two of several, but these are two absolutely essential things to being joyful in the midst of adversity. Number one, he knew he had been forgiven, and he knew how much God had forgiven him. Jesus said, "He who is forgiven much loves much." And of course, that's true, Brian, but only if the person is in touch with just how desperately he or she needed forgiveness in the first place. That was the context of Christ's statement, "He who is forgiven much loves much." The more in touch we are with our sin, the greater appreciation we'll have for our salvation, and the greater love we'll have for our Savior. You see, Brian, Paul was humble enough to know how depraved and sinful he had once been, and some of that was still in his heart. He knew God had forgiven him, and because of that, he loved God with a depth and a beauty he otherwise could not have known. Number two, and this is related to the first one, Paul had a God-first perspective, not a me-first perspective. You know, selfish people aren't cheerful warriors. They're not happy warriors. They most likely won't be warriors at all for Jesus. Had Paul been preoccupied with himself, well, his cheerfulness would have evaporated quickly in Jerusalem, certainly after being beaten and ridiculed and taken prisoner and forced to defend himself in front of the Jewish Supreme Court. He'd have been fighting for his rights instead of fulfilling his responsibilities. And this is our constant battle, Brian, to fight against selfishness. So to be joyful in the midst of adversity, to be a happy warrior, priority number one is to make God priority number one. So much more I could say on this subject, but let me sum up these two ideas. Paul knew how much he had been forgiven, and because of that, he loved God more than he loved anyone or anything else, including himself. Paul obeyed the first commandment, Brian. The very first one is the very first one for a reason, because everything else hinges on our obedience to that one. Paul loved God first. And this is why, instead of defending himself before the Sanhedrin, the Apostle Paul defended the gospel. And he did it cheerfully as a happy warrior.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with some final thoughts on why Paul was able to be a cheerful warrior. Ron, before we go, can you tell us what's in store for us tomorrow as you continue your teaching series, Paul, Surprised by Grace?
Well, Brian, we're getting close to the end of our study of Paul's missionary journeys, and so it may be a good idea to remind our listeners of something critical in Paul's ministry. You know, he was called specifically to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, to the pagan, idolatrous world of the Gentiles. And at that time, Brian, that was a pretty big deal. But even beyond that, God had expressly said that Paul would one day appear before governors and kings of the Gentile world, people of great power and influence. And that's where we're going to find ourselves going in this part of our teaching series, into Acts chapters 25 and 26, with the Apostle Paul defending the gospel of Jesus Christ to people in authority. We're going to dive in a little bit deeper into Paul's mindset as well as his commitment to the cause of Christ at a time when some people might well have compromised their convictions or backpedaled a bit on the message they'd been sharing. Paul did neither. And we'll take a look at that in my upcoming message right here on Something Good Radio.
The message is called Allegiance to Christ, and it comes your way tomorrow. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.